Welcome to the Fully Expressed Podcast.
We are your hosts, Samantha and Karenna.
This is a show where we invite you into your fullest expressed self in life, relationships, and business. We believe that if you crave more, you are meant for more. There is room for all of us to be fully expressed.
Along with the show, we've created a virtual community to connect you with fellow listeners. Make sure to check out the Fully Expressed Community membership. You'll find the link to join in the show notes and on our website.
So excited to see you there.
Enjoy this new episode. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Fully Expressed Podcast. We are so stoked on our guest today. It's one of our very dear friends, Josh Church. He is a performance coach, entrepreneur, and Forbes 30 Under 30 honoree dedicated to helping people stress less, achieve more, and have more fun. As the previous co-founder of Edge Theory Labs, he has helped create the world's first iceless ice bath, combining innovation and portability. He's also the host of the Find the Others podcast, which is simply incredible and truly captures Josh's energy and purpose in this world.
Hello. So fun. I love being in a room with you too.
Welcome.
How are you?
I'm doing well today. Yeah, I'm doing well. It's the season's changing. Like holiday season is here for us now and I love it.
So good.
Yeah.
Thanks for being here with us.
Yeah. Thank you.
So we're excited to drop in because you've been in quite the transition.
Mm-hmm. I have been. Yeah. And I feel like it's rare to have such page turning moments in life. Like for me right now, this is a massive one. Saturn's return. It's happening.
Yeah.
We love it. But
we're here for it.
We're here for it. But for me, like this is definitely like a whoosh. It's funny too, because at the start of 2024, I mean, we were together at the start of 2024 and my intention, what I thought 2024 was going to be, was completely different. And I feel like I've learned a lot now to just be like, and my grandma always used to say, man plans and God laughs. Like just to, you know, you show up, do your part, surrender to the outcome, because it all is working out for you eventually. But for me, it's been this kind of rare opportunity where like my whole life is flipped upside down. Now it's like the apartment that I was living in, I moved out of, the office that I was going into, we're just clearing out of, the business, the thing that I was putting my energy into all the time, every day, is now done. So it's like, whoa, there's this blank canvas and this blank slate of like, what's next? And that question can be kind of scary of like, what's next? And everyone wants to know what's next. It's like, it can be kind of anxiety ridden and scary, or it can be exciting of like, what's next?
Yeah.
So I very much am feeling into the like, what's next? Like exciting, blank slate. What a beautiful time. I don't have a family, or I'm not in a relationship right now. Like I'm as light and as lean as I'll probably ever be for the rest of my life.
True.
So it's a unique transition time, and I'm really, really aiming to be intentional about that.
So you're in this optimistic energy.
Yeah.
But let's take it back to... I was like, so for those that don't know, maybe we can tell them a little bit about what
happened.
So like, let's start there.
For sure. So about 3 years ago, I started Edge Theory Labs with my cousin. We co-founded it. And as you said in the intro, we built the first portable all-in-one ice bath. So it didn't exist before we built it, which is really cool. Mm-hmm. And we brought something to the world that didn't exist and brought this healing modality of cold water immersion to a lot of people, which was a passion of mine. And when we started off, it was just like, we wanted to help people, right? And we wanted to do a cousin project during COVID. We were like tinkering in his garage, and we were making a prototype, and we wanted to just help. I wanted to share this tool with people that changed my life. And over 3 years, we had helped over 4,000 people, got in the tub and homes of 4,000 people, generated over $20 million in revenue, had a team of 15 people at one point, like worked with some of the most amazing celebrities, athletes, and thought leaders out there. And just, I found myself time and time again in rooms and places where I'm like, what is happening? Like, how is this in my life right now? Yeah. So it was like this just tremendous, there was this magic kind of energy around. And if we felt it, the team felt it, it was just kind of this magic. And especially from the outside, it seemed like we were doing quite well, and 20 million revenue. That's amazing. However, it's a very capital intensive business, and we ran into some pretty serious manufacturing issues that required a lot of money for us to fix. And anytime you do a first generation hardware type of product, there's a lot of tweaking and iterating and improving. And so we, because we were the first ones to do this as well, like we had some of those teething problems. And so we were constantly improving the unit, and the way that it worked is we didn't have any patent protection with it too. So, you know, manufacturers started ripping it off very quickly, which is expected. It's kind of the way China works, just happens that way.
Yeah.
And so all the other people that came later benefited from our missteps and our stumbling of building the unit. Oof. And so then the market got pretty saturated and our sales started coming down. Our overhead got high. We built it for growth. Like after our second year, when we did over 10 million in revenue, we're like, all right, like we're going to take the shot here. We're going to build for growth. We raised a little bit of money and we built our team and our infrastructure to build for growth. And when you do that, if growth doesn't come, you're in trouble. But right. That's a shot that you take. It was a strategic decision that we made. You know, in hindsight, we would have done things differently, but I stand by that decision. It was like, cool, like we're going to build on this momentum here. We're going to go for this. And then market got saturated. We ran into some issues that cost us a lot of cash and sales stagnated and our overhead was high. Even though we cut. Our budget was built for a $15 million a year budget. And when you're coming into half of that, it doesn't really work out. And when you don't have deep VC funding, you string together a couple months where you're losing cash. We started hemorrhaging cash and then all of a sudden you run out of cash and we had to shut down. So we were forced to get to that point where we had to shut down and do an orderly liquidation to make sure that we could pay as much of our debts back as possible, make sure our team was taken care of. So that was like really the last 4 months has been that shutdown process, which is wild. At your market too, my cousin Rob had his baby in August. He's a first time dad. He had his daughter in August. And it was literally the week she was born when this started going down. And we're like, I think we're going to have to shut down the business. So yeah. She's 4 months old now.
Wow.
Which is beautiful.
Damn. She's yeah. like the thing that got birthed.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The new thing.
That's right.
The new gift.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Births and deaths. It's what happens. And so these last 4 months, I mean, we've talked about this, but it's been some of the most challenging time of my life for sure. Hands down. Full spectrum. I've had to face some of my greatest fears, which is your business shutting down, right?
Yeah.
Something you have such an identity towards as well. Having to go through an ego death with that, having to go through difficult conversations of telling team members that you love, my best friends I worked with, hey, like your roles can, like we're shutting things down, or we're having to let go of people that I loved working with, having to tell a secured creditor that we had that gave us $1 million credit line, like, hey, we can't pay you back. Having to tell investors, hey, we lost $1 million of your money. Not fun conversations. I'm going to tell customers, hey, I know you just spent $5,000 on this product and like, we're out of business. We're not going to be able to support you with this. You know, we worked in to make sure we had ways they could get support outside of us, but all of those stages. And it was just like all at once, right? It's like, oh, yeah, this is a mountain we have ahead of us.
So I'm so curious. I want to take it back. So I want to talk about the journey. Cause you said like, you kind of started that, like you went set yourself up for growth.
Right.
And then all of a sudden the numbers weren't coming in.
Mm-hmm.
How did you keep yourself afloat even at that time? Because yes, the end was probably like a huge thing, but there was also seems like this compound effect of resilience and capacity that you had to uphold.
Yeah.
How did you get through that even before the end?
Right? Yeah,
how did you keep going? How did you show up in the morning and be like, I'm going to keep showing up
today? With a lot of help from some friends, with a lot of help from my team, and really my team. Our team was just tremendous in that. And we were all on and on together. And the people that I worked closest to, my co-founder, specifically my head of sales, Chad, and my head of marketing, Kat, who are literally two of my best friends in the entire world. It was just every day we're like, let's figure it out. And it was every day. It was like, we're sending each other Abraham Hicks videos. We're sending each other motivational stuff. It's like, we're just focusing on showing up and controlling the controllables. That became our mantra through 2024. It was like, show up, control the controllables. And it would go in waves too. It'd be waves where it's just like, shit, like we're not seeing these, like the results are not coming, but like, let's stay focused on it. And then we go waves. It's like, okay, it's working. Amazing. Right. Okay. And it was just this roller. And that's entrepreneurship. That's the startup world. I've had experience in the startup world before. I know that's the case.
Yeah.
And as you both know, the shit is not for the faint of heart or the weakest stomach. Say it all the time. Like there's this allure. There's this whole the glamour around having your own business, being your own boss, all this stuff. And it's like, yeah, okay. But there's this whole other side of it. And and if you're fortunate, and we always remind ourselves too, it's like the pressure is a privilege. Like we're in a privileged position to be able to be here where it's like, we have this, like we have a shot. And we're building resilience through this process. Like you said, like is this amazing parallel to the cold water itself. It's like, we know how to handle breathing and the discomfort,
literally,
the challenges. Yeah. Like this is what we're about. Like let's embody this and let's use this for growth. And so I could not on my own do that do that by myself. I could not show up. Like, you would, your battery would be drained very quickly. So it was a battle. I mean, all of 2024, really, in January, as we started to see Jan, Feb, March, Q1, we started to come in a little bit under budget. We were like, okay, maybe we should reassess things here. And we started doing that really in January. And we just kept cutting. We kept refining. We kept refocusing, restructuring. So it was an amazing exercise. But to answer your question, it was the daily conversations, the support of like staying up, taking care of myself, making sure my health wasn't being compromised. It was like, it was doing all those things and focusing on, again, we say control the controllables, do what you can do, focus on those inputs you put in, and then let God take care of the rest. And one of the prayers that I would say all the time is, God, please lead me where I'm needed most. God, please lead me to where I'm needed most. And I trust you to lead me to where I'm needed most. As long as that's here with an edge, amazing. I want it to be, but I can't understand your bigger plan and your bigger picture. And so I'm surrendering my faith to you to lead me to where I'm needed most, and know that I know for a fact that what I'm going through right now is preparing me what I've asked for ultimately, and to be in the position to serve. Cause I've signed up for service. We made that decision a long time ago, ladies, right?
Yeah.
We made that decision a long time ago. Like, we're here to serve. We're here to do things. And we have to kind of hands up, surrender to the form that takes, and just be committed to the mission.
And that's such a beautiful perspective, because I feel like in a year from now, in 5 years from now, like, you'll be able to look back. I really do think every single thing we experience is leading us to that next thing. And the cool part is, you know, as someone who knew you right when you started this, which is so cool. And seeing you, it started like in Iceland, right?
Yeah,
when
exactly.
You did your retreat in Iceland, is so cool. I remember that, and being like, oh, I want to go to that. How fun. Also, like, hell no, walking naked they're walking in their skivvies through the snow.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's really awesome and also terrifying.
I love that for you.
Let me know how that goes. But then watching you build this and seeing you in a lot of ways, not that you were ever a boy before, but becoming a man in so many ways,
amen.
You know, and sitting here in front of you and seeing a totally evolved, different person. Mm. And I feel like, I feel like it really is preparing you. I've always thought you're here absolutely to be a leader and to step into something that's so much bigger than yourself. And how do you get there when you are able to sit in like the ultimate discomfort and have these conversations with other adults that probably feels, and I'm sure we'll talk about it, like terrifying, and then overcoming that and coming out the other side and being like, okay, God has a plan.
Yes.
It's so beautiful.
Absolutely.
And I'm so curious about that, to peel that back a little bit.
Sure.
What did you do when you wanted to shrink? Or like, what did you do when like your nervous system was like,
no,
I need to get the fuck out of here, or like, I don't want to let anyone into my world? Because I also can imagine, like, how did it feel asking people for support, or really telling people like, this is what's really going on, so that you could be emotionally supported, not just like the company or the business, but like you as a leader.
Yeah, it's a great question. It comes back to the relationships, comes back to family. This was also part of, I think, like a karmic loop for me, and part of a big lesson for me was to be able to like open up and like let people in, because I'm typically the one that's there supporting other people. And so I'm kind of coming with this, like, you know, togetherness, right? Like togetherness. And so being able to kind of like take the armor off and to like allow people in and to see the real vulnerability as I'm going through, even to people close around me, was something that was new for me, and some work that I had to, and I'm still practicing. Right.
Yeah.
But that was directly related to the support, right? It was equal parts support to that challenge of how challenging it was to open up. The support was there. And so it comes back to my family. It comes back to my close friends, like the few people that are like my people, right? That I was able to really be there in the raw with, that helped me through some of those tough days when it was just like, you know, I can think of a handful of people right now are just like, they were just there, and they were there for me. And they were, of course, happy to be there for me. They wanted to be there for me. But I think that it's just when you have that bigger perspective and when you have that relationship with God, for me, it made all the difference, because it was just constant. It was like I had to be showing up. I was putting so much of my effort and energy into showing up, which is where it needed to be, so that I could, because also it's like, I got a team I got to show for. I got an organization to lead. I have people out there that are counting on me. And like, to me though, the way that I think this is just the way that I've operated. It's the way that I play sports. It's just that mentality that I have is just like, good. Like, I'm here for that opportunity. Like, give me the ball. 4th and 1, give me the ball. I'm putting in the end zone, you know? And so there's that time for that masculine energy too, where it's just like, my shoulders are strong enough. I can take the load. Like, come on, let's go. But then there's that balance too, where it's like, you can't just do only that. Otherwise you'll burn out and you'll wither away.
There's a duality in that. Cause you're talking so much like, okay, I need to be emotionally supported. I need to be honest about what's going on, but I also need to show the fuck up.
That's right.
And I also need to lead the other people. Cause you had a company, you had people underneath you that were looking to you for like, Josh, what am I going to do?
Right.
What are we doing? How are you feeling today? What's the energy? And you're carrying that energy
exactly
in that room, but then also creating spaces, it seems like, to be held on what was really going on internally.
Exactly. And the other thing that helped get me through a lot was a lot of Fish 101 burritos. Favorite, my comfort food. A lot of Fish 101 burritos.
Shout out Fish 101.
Exactly.
We'll find them at Fish 101.
Yeah, one of my friends got me a $100 Fish 101 burrito gift certificate. Oh, or Fish 101 gift certificate. Exactly. It was like, this is the greatest thing ever. So a lot of Fish 101 burritos. And honestly, like a lot of like just chill time of like, I'm going to put on Netflix and I'm going to like tune out for a second here. Right. Yeah. And knowing and being okay with that. And not necessarily numbing out, but like being okay with like, okay, like this is what I need right now. And then getting ready to show up for the next day. And I mean, remembering, I think, why I started this and why I decided to do this and what the mission is about. Like, I always felt like this is an opportunity to lead by example here, because this is an opportunity to bring the mission to even more deeply embody this mission, which is the whole idea is like, life is hard and we get thrown challenges. How do you respond to those challenges? Do you brace? Do you white knuckle your way through it? Is your breath shallow? Or do you embrace? Yeah. Can you practice embracing and shifting into that embrace? And can you have that regulated nervous system as you show up? So this is what we preach, right? This is the message. Yeah, this is the mission.
I was like, God literally gave you your answer.
Yeah.
Like it sounds like that, because like he literally created ice. He fell in love with the ice. He learned how to be in stress with the ice. And then he's like, let's like, test little it. Do you know you're gonna need this practice in life. And like it literally, it's just all,
I know, doesn't it make so much sense?
It makes so much sense.
I was just gonna say too that I think so often we think of challenge as the difficult parts. But I really think, even as you were mentioning how you were in these rooms with people that you looked up to or that you thought were above you, and you that also is a challenge, of maybe a better challenge that we want to have instead of the other side. But the fact that you've learned now all of that spectrum, not just when it's the hardest, but also when that is another opportunity that many people want to shrink and feel unworthy of being in the room with those people. And that is another opportunity that you had to really stand in your power.
It definitely is, and it definitely was, for sure. And it was like, it was so funny, but it was such a regular basis, and what a gift to have such a regular basis where it was like feeling those, like, you know, the nervousness or things. It's like, cool, I'm about to, you can feel it, right? You feel in your body, just like, okay, I'm sitting in my car, I'm like, I'm about to go knock on the door of, like, you know, this athlete that I've grown up watching, or like, I'm going to go meet with Dana White of the UFC, or I'm like, I'm going to hang out with Mike Posner. You just like, any of these people, it's just like the Jonas Brothers. I'm like, okay, am I really doing this? Right. Okay. And just feeling that in my body. And, and I got, it's so funny, but it's like, just like anything, you get used to it, right? You, you practice, you take enough reps, you get used to it. So I got used to being able to like vulnerably go in front of people or pitch the product or go meet someone that I looked up to. And that also provided a realm of also deeper inquiry of like, okay, well, why do I feel, this is just another person, that's another human. Like, why do I feel, like, why should I feel inferior by any means? But there's always that complex too.
Of course, yeah.
And that was a theme throughout, especially with the conversation, some of the difficult conversations. Like, one of the things I say, and I honestly, I thank God for, is that I have, and I was just reflecting this in my journal just the other day, is like, I have gotten really good at being able to have difficult conversations. And I have been able to get really good at increasing my capacity for handling things through this process. And like, what a beautiful quality, what a gift. And like, don't we all, like, wouldn't we all want that? If you could say, hey, do you want to have the capacity to handle hard things? Do you want to have the ability to have difficult conversations? Every single person would say like, yes, I want that. And then if I were to say, okay, well, here's the thing to that's going to build that capacity, you're going to be like, no, I don't want it, right?
I think even, I don't think people know that they want that, but I also think that people want to be able to show up the way that you did. They want to create the business. They want to be able to sell their product. They want to be in front of the people in the rooms that they want to be in.
Yeah.
And then you tell them, well, you got to do these things. And they're like, I don't want to do that.
Just kidding.
But what a gift that you created such a huge capacity. And that's like what I really want to highlight. Like, the entire season or era of Edge.
It's literally called Edge.
I know.
It's called Edge, which is fucking great.
Yeah.
But it's been creating capacity for this beautiful next thing.
Yeah. Thank you.
It's coming.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like your soul set yourself up to really go through this process so that you.
And that's what life is, right? It is. I really think our souls are, they're running the show more than we think we're running the show. Like, we talk about this all the time. You know, our soul came here to learn specific lessons and we're meant to learn those lessons. Yeah. So in the next lifetime, we get to just build on top of that. And your soul specifically looked for this.
Yeah.
For a specific reason.
Yeah.
And it was like, you can handle it. So that's why I'm giving it to you. If you're not going to handle it, you're going to come back and learn it again.
Totally. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
exactly.
I'm done with this one. I'm ready to go into the third grade. A second grade I'm done with. And that's what I feel too. It's like, we're all in kindergarten out here.
Literally.
Too,
you know? Yeah.
Like, we're all learning.
What are we doing? We don't even know what we're doing.
Float on a rock in space. But I do view that these last 3 years is a massive gift. And there was a big shift that happened that I want to highlight too, which was that in the lens of looking at this as a success or as a failure, right? Like the business failed, if you look at it, right? We're no longer in business. We don't have a product to sell. We don't have a team. The business failed. But whether how I look at that as a failure just purely depends on the lens of the way I'm looking at that through. And there was a lot of hard resistance kind of on that download as you're like trying to avoid facing the reality that this might not work and we may have to close this. And one of the things that I wrestled with a lot was that we were, it felt like we were so close. You know, we had so many things that are so hard to do that we had together. We had this incredible team of people that could have a huge capacity for growing even more. We had like this community of people that were following us and that were using our product every day. We had a brand, like we had a mission, we had a why, like we had all these things together. We had a proof of concept. We were selling millions of dollars of product. Like we had all these things and it was like all the pieces were right there. And it felt like it was so close to being like something that like this could be one day a household brand, or this could be a couple hundred million dollar a year business. This could be a $1 billion brand. Like I saw that vision so clearly and it felt like we were so close. And so you can imagine holding on to that and seeing that and seeing what the future and having those visions, it's like now all of a sudden seeing the downward spiral and confronting the mortality of this, like that's really, really hard. And that was causing so much of that inner resistance and like the inner challenge was what I was creating, because life is, you know, 5% what happens to us, 95% how we're interpreting and responding to it. And so I was interpreting and responding that way. That was resistance. And then all of a sudden is like, as we were kind of on the come down, I just had this clarity moment of like, what if Edge wasn't here to be my $1 billion brand? Like, what if Edge was here to be my MBA program and to be my 3 year, to be the foundation, to be like, what if Edge was supposed to be like, okay, here's a 3 year period where you're going to see it all. You're going to see the incredible growth. You're going to learn as much as you possibly can. You're going to do a fundraising round. You're going to work with some of your celebrity heroes. You're going to build a team. You're going to work with your friends. You're going to build a capacity. You're going to do all of these things. And then it's going to have a hard close at the end of it. And you're going to be done after 3 years. I would have been like, well, that sounds good, right? I'd be like, okay, well, maybe that's what it is. So as soon as I shifted the lens to look at Edge from like, this could have been a big business and could have been the thing to this was exactly what it needed to be. Like this could have been the 3 year learning MBA program that will set me up for what's next. Then it all of a sudden shifted that emotional charge.
I want to peel that back a little bit, because I think there's so many entrepreneurs out there that live a little delulu, but we need a little delulu. You know, we need a vision. You gotta be
for sure.
You gotta be like, I'm gonna have the XYZ vision. Right. But then there's this reality that sits in and that your business is not growing.
Mm-hmm.
Your business is not transitioning. You've been doing the same thing. For some people, they've been doing the same thing for 5, 7, 10 years, just holding on.
Mm-hmm.
So you came to this thought
that
gave you a new perspective. It sounds like your nervous system rested in that. I was like, I can absorb that. So you felt this like ease when you heard that.
Yeah.
But like, what was really the deciding factor? Like, if anyone's listening and they're internally struggling with like, do I keep going?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do I do?
Well,
I think that's a personal decision for every single person. I don't think there's like a right answer.
Yeah.
But I'm just so curious, what was yours?
Yeah. Well, for us, we didn't really have a choice because we literally were running out of money and it was like, we're not gonna be able to make payroll, you know, next month we can't order more inventory. We don't have enough cash to order more inventory and we're not gonna make payroll. So like, we didn't have a choice. We're like, and we don't have, if I had more personal funds to be able to like float the business or invest more into the business, I probably would have.
Right.
But I didn't. And so it was like, okay, well, we're left with no, and we tried fundraising. We it was like, we're left with no options to where we have to, which which is challenging, but also kind of a blessing because it made the decision easy, where it wasn't like something that was kind of just like hanging along there. Or especially if you're in another type of business, if you're a solopreneur, you have like a really low overhead business and you're just kind of yourself and you can kind of keep hanging on to something, where it's like, it was just very clear. It was just like, oh, like we don't have a choice. So we have, you know, had a board meeting where the unanimous decision for dissolution was there. And it was like, yeah, this is just, this is the process and you've reached the end of the road.
As you're saying that, I also think about the identity though attached to the business, because I think, yes, like you had the blessing that literally you couldn't financially sustain the people that ran the business.
Right.
You couldn't financially hold it up. So the numbers, like you had clear data that was like,
this doesn't
work, you know? Mm-hmm. But for some people, like they push it, they go bankrupt, they take out a lot of credit cards, they promise things to a lot of people and say, like, this is what's going to happen. So I'm so curious, like, how did you also let your identity detach from Edge? Because I think what keeps people in is like, this is me.
Yeah.
And they hold on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how did you have to go through that process?
Well, thankfully, like, that was something I was working through throughout the entire time and through the come up even, which made it really, and just based on some of the personal development work I've done in the past of like, and my mentor who I work very closely with as well, like, you know, it's if you take credit, then you take blame, right? But one of the lines I love is take no credit, take no blame, stay focused on your chief aim. Stay focused, right? Like if you're willing to take credit for something, then you expose yourself to being able to take blame for something and feel criticism. But if you don't take credit, then you don't take the blame. So it's a very hard thing to do, but like I was something I practice a lot through like through the initial success is just like, this is not like, there's clearly something happening here that's greater than just me. It's like, yes, we have this idea. Yes, we put these strategies. Yes, we're selling this thing, right? Like we're doing a lot, but like there's something else greater here that's doing this. And so like, I can't take full credit for this, right? And I think that's also when you live a God-centered life or you believe in a higher power, something bigger than yourself, then you know, it's like, you know, and some of your strokes of inspiration, it's like, we're just channeling at best. Like we're just a vessel for a higher power to work through. And if you really believe that and feel that, then like, that's not yours to take credit for. Like it's a co-creation. Like, yeah, of course there's your part in showing up and doing, but I really practice that throughout. Otherwise I feel like I'd be in a complete ego death spiral, like identity crisis of myself. And also I knew too, very early on that like, this was just an expression. This was one part of who I am as Joshua Church, right? This is just one, this is a thing that I do. And it became like, and I had to have, and thank God I had mentors and people close to me that could catch me on some of those things and be like, okay, well, careful, your identity is getting a little wrapped up there, to be like, okay, cool, this is something I do. That's why it was really important for me to continue doing my podcast even through this, even though it didn't make sense. And I was like, I should probably shut it down, or just, even if it was only 10 episodes I did last year, to like still do something to where it was like, this is, there's more to me than just Edge Theory Labs, because it would be very difficult otherwise. So I think I was really, it was a lot of the work in my previous life, right? And in the previous life before Edge that set me up and to do it, which is hard too when you see the hockey stick growth, like, and you go on a rocket ship and, you know, you do 10 million in your first year and a half in business. It's like, that's so uncommon, right? Like you don't see that. And so it did take a lot of work, but a constant reminder to like stay humble with that. And also know that this was, you know, it's just one aspect of who I am. And my little nephew, when I see him, he doesn't know what I do. He doesn't care what I do, right? It's not about that. He loves me for me and for who I am as Uncle Joshy. Like that's what it's about, right?
Yeah.
And that's the way it is for me in life as in general.
That's amazing.
I love that you let God lead.
What'd you say?
God's leading. Yeah. Like the entire time. Like when you were talking about that, I think this is just like, just hearing you speak and like in this interview in general, like you are just so stable on your faith and letting him guide you.
Absolutely.
And I think it's so easy when your ego is running the show where you're like, my ego's use it this way. And he's like, dude, I got a completely different plan. You're not even open to seeing the other
door.
And like, there's another door that's clearly here for you.
Exactly.
And it seems like you were able to connect to that often, which really dropped into like, oh, there is another door here that I meant to follow. I don't know what's on the other side of the door, but I know that I meant to walk through it.
Exactly. And I can't see it and I won't be able to see it for some time, but like, I know there's something here. God don't make no mistakes.
Yeah.
God don't make no mistakes. And that's the way I have enough evidence in my life personally from my experience, especially through the hard shit, to be able to see that and to say that confidently. And so it's the same thing. And again, all these things in perspectives don't make it easier when you're sitting in the room and you have to have the conversation to say, yeah, hey, your livelihood no longer has a place here. You know what I mean? Like we can't keep paying you, or we're going out of business. Like, it doesn't make any of that easier, but it makes it worthwhile. It gives you the purpose to get through it, because you know that the only way out is through, and you have to go through this. And like, I had it on post-it notes. I said it all the time. God, please lead me to where I am needed most. You have that perspective. I don't. And if that means letting go of the way that I thought it was going to be, which was running this business for years to come and earning millions, impacting a lot of people through that process, and being able to, like, I saw that whole path light up, and it was lighting up, and that was the path I was literally on. But God, if there's a better way, like, that's not for me to decide. You have the, you know, our inner being, our higher souls, they have that perspective that we just don't in this 3D right now. So it's that, there's that strength and surrender of like, okay, all I can do. And then there's a relief in that, is all I can do is focus on what I can control. Like, that's right. It's literally that simple. It's just like anything. It's so simple, but so hard. It's just like, but I find such relief in that. I just like, all I got to do is show up. I mean, it just happened to me the other day. I sent out a proposal for this consulting work I'm doing. I'm like, and I was just like, I sent it off and I felt so good. I was like, this is so fun, because I'm not stressing about this at all, because if it's meant to be, it's going to be. And if it's not, then like God's rejection is your protection. Like if it's not, then great, fine. And there's going to be something else my energy needs to go towards. But I put my time and energy in showing up and sending that proposal out and putting the energy in towards it. So I felt good that like I could send that out and be good regardless of the outcome. And living in that surrendered state where it's not like just surrendered, okay, God, show me wherever and just leave me. It's like, no, I'm going to show up and do my half. And God, you do your half. And God always does his half. So like you do your half, then the other half is matched. And then you follow the yellow brick road all the way to Emerald City.
I also think that like your example of having to let people you love so much in your company go, I think it's so easy to want to take all that on.
Yeah.
But at the same time too, that's you're standing in your truth of what is true in the moment. And it's also for them to work through. Yeah. So you're also holding the mirror for them up on how they respond or how they take it.
Yeah.
I think it's so easy when you're a business owner, or you have employees, or, and you care so much and it's people you love. It's so easy to want to take all that on your shoulders.
Really.
But that's also a great opportunity to let go and realize that we're all facilitating lessons for each other all the time in all dynamics. And I think in those moments, that's another example of creating even greater resilience for you and for them in those moments where you want to just be like, I'm so sorry. Let me take all this on and hold this guilt and hold this shame, when in reality, you're holding the mirror for them too, to be like, okay, you're now giving them a layer of confidence of like, well, I can find something that's aligned with me now, right? Exactly. Everyone is going into their
own avenues. You're setting them free in their own way. Yeah, you so well said. And that's like, that's such a valuable and important perspective that you've clearly learned through your journey. And I think that's so important to learn that perspective too. And that was something that was so present with me throughout every conversation, was like, okay, this is also a gift I'm giving this person. And a lot of times it's like, okay, you know, I'm setting them free in a big way, and there's going to be something else for them. And I had that to the point where it was never, where it made it a lot easier to not try to take everything on.
Even the venture capitalists, or even the million, you're like, I'm sorry, I can't give you back your $1 million. Imagine the lesson for them on that end, you know, of having to be, all right, I have to be unattached, because that's what happens when
it's
you
the
invest.
Game you play. Yeah. It's the game you play.
It's funny, because I think it's easy not to realize we're all holding these lessons for each other.
Right.
And we don't have to carry it all.
There's a relief that feels like, was the Ram Dass quote, we're all just walking each other home at the end of the day.
And we talk about it a lot because we're people pleasers, and it's so easy to hold so much of that.
Recovery.
That's right.
On the other side.
Probably one of the hardest things for me was that, you know, I sold this product and this brand. Like, I was the face of the brand, right? I mean, I was spamming everybody's IG feeds with the ads and everything. It was so funny, the amount of times that people would be like, I've seen you on my Instagram ads before. I was like, yep, that's me. Sorry about that. But, you know, I put my face on there. This was a reflection of me. And this is another thing around that identity and taking that on. But when we went out of business, like I was off Instagram for a month, mostly because of the hate mail I was getting. Like, I got so much hate mail. Like, I knew I was going to get some, but like, I was also the face and the target that people went after. So like, I mean, it wasn't so much, like, there was a lot of pissed off people, understandably so, but from a customer standpoint, but there was probably, I would say, like, probably 10, maybe a dozen people that like really lashed out, like spammed my whole thing, were sharing my stuff. This guy's a fraud. You're a stain on the health and wellness community. You know, fuck you, you spineless weasel. I got called a spineless weasel. That was fun. That's a new one.
What?
Yeah, oh, and emails, texts, yeah, LinkedIn messages. Like, so a few people went like really crazy. I'm going to make it my goal to make sure that whatever you do next fails and people know who you really are, right?
How did you deal with that?
Yeah, how did you deal with that? That's insane. Like,
when you read them, what happened?
Oh, yeah, you get that sinking
pit. Like, did you cry? I would go just be bawling.
Yeah, no, I mean.
Just run to Nick and be like, babe, they're saying these things to me, SOS. Like,
I mean, that was this the first.
No matter how strong you are, I think that's like the other thing to talk about. Like, I really don't think there's anyone. I think you have to build capacity to deal with that, but it's still kind of.
For sure. Oh, yeah, it hits. It hits and it hurts. And it's on your consciousness, and it was until I was able to work through it and to be able to like find that other perspective, right? And to feel into like, where's the other perspective here? Because this doesn't feel good.
And what a true letting go, because I'm sure there's a part of you that just wants to be like, that's not me. Like, see me for who I am.
I know.
This is just a, you know, like.
And I think about like, I also want to be done.
Yeah.
I think at that point too, like, I wonder, like, I would probably get to the place, like, I don't want to deal with this.
Exactly.
I'm going through the hardest time of my life.
Right.
I just,
like, kick you when you're down.
And, like, now you're just, like, hitting me harder. Like, that would also be hard.
Yeah. So, I mean, I felt all of that. And then there's a few perspectives that I have that I've, you know, that I've hung on to that help a lot with it. So I can share some of those perspectives.
Yeah, please.
One of them was, have you guys met Chad or no? You guys don't know Chad? Yeah. You met Chad. Okay. Yeah. He's a beam of light.
He's literally the energy.
He's an energizer bunny. He's
sure.
Energizer bunny. Yeah. Amazing.
He's sunshine.
He is sunshine. Yes. He's sunshine mixed with golden retriever energy.
Love it.
Yeah.
The best
more,
kind.
More
what
of
more do you want?
And so he's one that I've kept like a literally daily tight loop with as we've been going through this together and keeps me on that wavelength. And the first thing he said was like, that guy is probably like having the worst day of his life for him to send that. Like his wife is probably like, he's not getting laid at home. Like, you know, he's probably in a shitty situation for him to send a message like that. Like, that sucks. Like, so that's one perspective. And I was like, wow, okay. He's like, before you respond, because this was actually before we announced going out of business. So this was just an angry customer, which we would have from time to time, but nothing crazy. But so this was just like run of the mill, angry customer reaching out to me directly. And
I'm just thinking about the fact you're writing back. So on that note, our business is closed.
Yeah. And this was even well before that. And so he was just like, before you respond, just remember that. I was like, good thought. And I had another friend who took that a level higher, and she told me about a horrible customer situation she was dealing with. And someone shared with her the perspective of, how would you respond if you knew that God was also in this person? I was like, that's a good
one.
So
good.
So I just responded in a really like, you know, yeah, let that land for a second. How would you respond to this if you knew God was also in this person? And this was a mirror for you too. Mm-hmm. So I responded in a very high road way and very, you know, sticking to my guns way. And he responded back, and it totally disarmed him. And he responded back, sorry, I've had a hard week. We just buried my mom this week.
Wow.
And I was like, oh my God. Like,
yeah.
Thank you, God, for that experience and that interaction right there to remind me that like when someone reaches out and someone like is throwing their shit at you, it's not your shit. It's a reflection of what they're going. Cause can you imagine writing an email to someone that's like nasty like that, where it's
never.
Like, it's one thing to write like a strongly written email and get your point across. It's another thing to be like, to call them names and to like, to curse them out. Right. So that's one perspective. And like, okay, what if God is in this person too? How would I handle that? Great. But then that's all pre-business when I had to respond.
Mm-hmm.
Now in the post-business world, right, where it's like, this is just hate mail. The other perspective that Chad shared was just like, I'm jealous. You got haters, man. That means you're doing something. Like,
Cat like, Williams says, if you don't have haters, you're doing something wrong.
That's right. Shout out Cat Williams. You know, we know it. And so that was another perspective of like, okay, cool. Like, I've done something worthwhile to where people have a perspective or opinion about it. Like, think about like, even, you know, even Gandhi would have haters. I mean, lots of haters.
Yeah.
Even the most amazing.
Mother Teresa has haters,
right? Like, I think about like, you have haters. Even the most amazing people have haters. So one of the things my mentor shared with me that helped me, because I was like, I want to like for these people, like I want to respond. I want to justify myself. I want them to know. And he said, you know, it's not your job to change someone's perception of you.
So true.
And if you try to do that, you're like, think about how much work you would have to do to get that person to have, because they have a very clear perception of you right now. And if you want to change that, like, think about how much energy, time, and work will have to go in to actually change that. Like, you're just not going to do
it.
Is it worth it? Is it worth it because the people that you like, and do you care about this person's perception of you?
Yeah.
Because for the people that you really do care about, like, you know, they know you for who you are. And yeah. like you two both sent me the most amazing sweet text message. Like all, it was 99.9% of just most overwhelming wave of support when we made the announcement their business was shutting down. I got over 150 text messages from mm-hmm. friends and people. Hey, I'm so sorry to hear the news. I love you. You know, I'm here for you. Like if some people, they want above and beyond and how they were there to support. And it's like, those are the people I care about. They know me. They know my intention going into this. They know why I was doing this. They know what I did and the lengths that we went to make sure we shut this down right with integrity, to make sure we didn't leave our customers high and dry. It's like, they know. The people that care know. And that's all that matters. So not having to try to change someone's perception of you, that's huge. And just moving forward and moving on. And also remembering that like people have a short-term memory. It's like people move
literally.
On.
Literally.
We all move on. They get angry.
Like, thank you to TikTok for that. And Instagram.
Yeah, right. Like, that's a good part of the short energy attention.
I think it's hard because I think something that comes up for you as you're saying that is like, there's a lot of safety in other people understanding. Mm. And when people don't have insight into what you just said of like, you just said like, I've worked so hard. I did everything I could to keep this business going. Yeah. And just people just don't know.
Right. Yeah.
They really don't know. They have no idea what your mornings look like.
Right.
The kinds of conversations you had yourself with yourself in the morning. No one knows about the internet, like the amount of advice you seek. Like it's not like you just decided to close and it was like, I didn't want this, but people just don't take the time to think about those things. I think they're just, to your point, just caught up in their own emotional experience. And they're just like, I feel this way, I'm going to say it, versus like, well, what do you think the other person is going through? And like, as you said something about like, what if God is in them?
Yeah.
What if people gave you that same perspective?
Right.
But it's hard because not everyone does.
I know that if I give that people perspective, if I can give that people perspective and lead by example, then maybe more people can reciprocate that or can have that as well or can take that.
It's an opportunity for them to learn it.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
I think it's also
this is here for me, by the way.
Yes.
Cool. Thank you.
It's also the ego that wants to be liked by everyone and accepted and seen for who I am. And again, it's like not our responsibility to make anyone see us for who we are. We just have to, I think that's something we talk about on here, is that's the hardest part of when you show up fully expressed and authentic. Mm. You have to just accept that people are going to misperceive you.
Not understand.
So true.
Yeah. Or not get you.
Not get you. And it's not your responsibility to change it.
Yeah.
You know, one thing I want to start transitioning into is like, how has it been going through the transition and kind of figuring out like what is next? Especially like, how much time have you given? I'm so curious. Like, how much space do you think about it often? Do you just allow yourself to show up? What does that look like?
It's a work in progress, and it evolves every day because we're still right now wrapping up the end. Until the end of this month, we're still getting moved out of our office space and finishing liquidating the rest of the stuff, and you know, tying up the loose ends. It's another thing they don't talk about it much, but it's like shutting down a business is hard and expensive. Like
probably
the legal
so much
stuff,
work, right?
So much work that goes into it. Where it's like, and there's this kind of full circle, like circle of life. In the beginning, it's like it's just me and my co-founder. We're taking out the trash and we're like shipping out boxes. And at the end, we're taking out the trash and shipping out boxes and like cleaning up after everybody else's mess, which is what you sign up for. It's like you get the rewards, high risk, high reward. And so going through is very humbling as well. Going through this period and being like, you know, and seeing the, you know, seeing the downside of it and what happens when it can go wrong. But for me, so as really there was for the last month and a half, it's been very just make it to the end of the day, like just take it one day at a time, because there's all of these unknown variables really these last couple months, but in end of October is when we made the announcement. And so from then was like, okay, there's this mountain of things that we need to do, that we need to figure out. One of those was we have a secured creditor that we have to figure out how we can work with to have them not come after us and sue us, or have us personally have to go bankrupt to pay them out. We need to figure out how to get out of our office space. We need to figure out how to make this happen, right? It's like you have this, it's overwhelming. It's like, okay, one thing at a time. Let's just line it up, knock it down, one thing at a time. And it did become a little bit easier in a sense because we knew this is where we're going. The goal is to wrap this up and to wind it down. Whereas it was even more challenging before, where you're like still trying to save it, but it's like you don't know which way you can go, and you're kind of in this like, that was some of the toughest times. But then it's like, all right, there's an end in sight. We know this is finite. There's a Rob and I would say it all the time. There's a limited number of tough conversations we have left.
Right.
Like, there's a limit to it, right? Yeah. And so we can handle it. It's not this unknown, you know, nebula of things that we have to do. It's just like, there's a limit. So we're just line it up, knock it down. So really after, I would say in the last couple weeks is when it's felt like, really last 2-3 weeks is where it's felt like the unknown variables and the scary stuff and the high risk stuff have become known and have started to close off. And so with those energy streams closing off, now all of a sudden it's started to open up energy streams to open in other areas for myself and to start to feel into like, okay, what is next? What does this next chapter look like? What do I want to do? And one of the things I just caught myself in real time last week, and this is another mentor, a theme of this conversation is like all these mentors and people around me, because that's everything. Another mentor was saying that, because I felt like as this was starting to wind down, I'm like, okay, now I'm starting to have this time and space. Like, let me fill it very quickly. Like, let me get busy. Let me go sign clients. Let me go bring in income. Like, come on, let me fill it. And it was a good gut check, a little hello, as he says. It's like, this is a little hello for you to like sit with it. And, you know, you're almost there, but like sit with it and sit in some of that discomfort and don't rush and protect your energy. So my theme recently has been let it blossom, allow it to blossom, allow it to unfold. And thankfully I'm in a very amazing opportunity and position where I can do that. And I can and I have a little bit of space and time where I don't have to jump back into like right away to go get a full-time job to bring an income right now. I can let it land and let the river shape me and let it flow. So that has been a really good gut check of just like protect my time, my energy, because again, as we said in the beginning, I have a blank canvas right now and probably, I don't know, when in my life again, I'll have this time and space. So like, I'm going to be very present through the holiday season here with my family and spend some time with my niece and nephews and just like allow myself to downshift and downregulate after sprinting for three plus years. I mean, even before that, when I was doing my last ventures, like, so to be able to kind of let it land and allow it to blossom. And that's the energy I'm bringing in. And already with that, there's exciting things and ideas and there's no shortage of opportunities, which is awesome.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of like giving myself the time and space. And for me, one of the things that feels good is, I mean, there's really kind of three things that I've been feeling into that feel good for me in terms of what's next. And one is continuing to facilitate experiences. So events, retreats, workshops, stuff of that nature, that lights me up. Continue to do that. Other one is continue to have inspiring conversations like this one here and learn and storytell, which is all podcast for me. So really excited to revamp and refocus on getting back behind the mic and sharing on my voice on my podcast. So that feels really good to me. And then helping people solve problems, whatever that looks like. And so that's kind of what I'm looking at in terms of this first chapter. I have some travels coming up in the first part of the year as well. I'm going to be gone for 6 weeks. 3 of those weeks off the grid in the Himalayas. So I'm
yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Cool. So I'm like, I don't need to rush into, and I felt myself, I'm like, okay, cool. Like, okay, I can do these things to bring in income and I can fill my, and I was like, okay, good gut check. Let me do one of those things right now. Like, let me just take it slowly and then ramp back up and be okay with coming out of the water after riding these waves and like sitting on the sand for a sec and know that the waves are still there and they always will be there.
Wow.
Yeah.
How do you feel like all this entire experience has allowed, like in what ways have you become more your authentic self, your fully expressed self? Like how has it impacted?
Great question. I think twofold. One is being able to be more real, raw and vulnerable. Like I think that the thought of having a super honest conversation like this a year ago would have been like, no, that doesn't feel aligned. Like that, like, I feel like I need to present myself as more polished, or I want to be more of a leader, which means like being more together or synonymous with success. So whereas I think it's actually the opposite of that. Being a leader means opening up and leading with vulnerability and being real and being authentic and aligned. So, and expressed. And that's what I feel like this has given me that opportunity, both in my personal life with friends and family, to be able to let more people in and be supported by other people, and to be able to ask for help and support, which is something I've had a very hard time doing and in my life, to be able to like ask when I need help or ask like, hey, this actually is really important to me. Like, can I get your help with this? So that has helped shape me into being more my authentic expressed self. And then the second part of that too, is that like, I also can do hard things and that is part of who I am. And that like, what I'm sharing hopefully sounds and feels embodied, because it is like, it's not just like, oh yeah, like I'm optimistic and things are working out for me. It's like, I feel that and I believe that. And like pressure is a privilege. It either bursts pipes or makes diamonds, and damn it, I'm a diamond.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I'm not going to let this burst my pipes and to feel that energy and that like, cool. I'm not scared of this. Like I can step up to the plate. Like I'm going to step up to this challenge. Doesn't make it mean it's easy, especially because it's not easy. Like I'm gonna step in that batter's box. Like, watch me. I'm gonna do this. I can step up to that. And so there's this energy and there's this strength that I found both from the surrendering and the opening up piece, and also from that like step up to the plate piece that feel really important to me for me to talk about and to share about and to lead by example, because like we all deal with the challenges, we all go through it. That's one thing that makes us all human together, is like we're all going through some shit. Life swings a left hook and we get caught on the chin with it and we're getting knocked down. Like, that's the point. So I feel like for me, those the kind of the polarity and dichotomy of those two things and embodying those two things in a very, and just a real way. It's just like, there's no filter anymore. Like, you know what I mean? I don't have to put on a filter of like, it's just me. Yeah. And that has allowed me and is allowing me. I mean, it's still very unfolding in real time. That's allowing me to step more into, I feel like my fully expressed self.
The one thing I think about all the time, and I talk about this, the one thing that we all have in common tends to be the last thing that we talk about.
Ooh, give me some of that.
And it's emotions, it's vulnerability, it's the struggles, it's the challenges. And I just like want to challenge our human being internally because I'm like, we all have this in common. And I think every time that you share, I know there's someone on this podcast that's like listening and they're like, oh, thank God he said that, because
I need to hear that.
Yeah.
And that's how we relate. So the person that was before us, she said something so beautifully. She's like, the way that people learn is through relatability.
Yeah, storytelling.
Through storytelling, through relatability. True. And she said that and I was like, you're so right.
Yeah.
Right? Like, we don't learn. I mean, yes, we read a book and we can learn data and information, but it's really the things that are like, I see me in that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which goes back to, we are all God.
Yeah.
And God is in all of us.
Right.
So of course, like, why would we resist being vulnerable or messy or authentic to other people? You're just talking to another version of yourself.
That's so true. What was that line one more time?
The thing? I always say that the last thing that we always talk about is the thing that we have most in common.
That's good.
Yeah.
That one's coming with me.
Yeah.
Is that a you
That's
line?
A me
okay,
line.
Great. Okay. Yeah. Just so I know. I
don't know.
Hashtag
Krenna.
Hashtag Krenna. Cool. Quotes. I like to give credit to wherever I hear
yeah,
them. So.
But yeah.
No, I, of course I, think I will. About That's that. Great.
I'm like, we have emotions.
It's so true.
We have struggles. We have an ego. We have these beliefs.
Right.
We have thoughts that take us down crazy spirals and we just never want to say them. And I always think about that. Like, the more that we can lean, that's why I think the podcast is here, right?
Yeah.
To be fully expressed, to be with the messiness, because in the messiness is where we can create connection.
Yeah.
It's, yes, the highlights are so good, being the leader, being the strong person. And I get that. And we need duality, but I'm like, we're forgetting the main piece.
Mm-hmm. And we want to change the conversation of, I'm so tired of, what do you do? It's like, who are you?
Right.
Because we do all kinds of things. Yeah. That doesn't define who you are as a person, or like, how are you?
Yeah.
And really you just want them to say good and move along. But it's like,
how's
your day
really
going? Yeah, exactly.
Energy different. Like,
yeah.
I don't know, my car broke down today, something's different. I'm like, I just feel so much more connected to you versus everything's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can feel the energy block you off. So
it's so true.
One question that we ask all of our guests is, where in your life, this can be life, relationships, or business, doesn't have to be about business, are you craving to be more fully expressed?
Where in my life am I craving to be more fully expressed? I think now in my business, like in this transition period, I think that, and I think this is the opportunity, and what I'm excited about what's next is I have the opportunity to, you know, shift the form of what the function has been and will always be, which is I want to help people. It's just that simple at the end of the day. It's like, I want to help people and I'm here to help people with what I've gone through and what I've learned and what I can share. And so for me, the form that was taking, it has been taking, was selling a tub. That was the product. And now is a blank slate where that form is shifting and it's going to shift and there's an opportunity to shift it, but the function still is the same. But so where I feel like I'm looking to be more fully expressed is in the business itself and in the form that will follow the function. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that the business can be a more fully expressed version of me personally and who I am and the things that align with me.
I have a question.
Yes.
What from Edge or this experience or this season are the pillars that you're taking with you that you want to be more fully expressed? Are the pillars different? Are they the same?
I think the pillars
are. Have they transformed?
I think they're similar in terms of pillars, but the product or the offer itself is different. So like that offer is what I want to be more fully expressed. And then also in the storytelling and in the teaching of, like, clearly in this conversation and other conversations, like, I want to shed light into this. Like, I want to share all of the details of the quote unquote failure and the messiness. Like, that is really important. And that feels more fully expressed, where it's like, before, there's almost this kind of relief that comes down when it's like, you fail. And one thing that I've always loved that I say all the time is, sometimes God brings us our biggest fears to show us that we had nothing to be afraid of all along. And when you face some of your biggest fears and you move through them, like, and now it's like, well, that no longer holds a fear over you. You've been through that, no matter what that is. And I find that true in conversations I have, even with people that, you know, have lost a loved one or someone's just like, okay, that greatest fear just happened and hey, I'm still here.
Still here.
And there can be sometimes a relief that comes with that of like, that didn't kill me. That didn't take me down. So I'm looking forward to sharing more and being more fully expressed and in the rawness and the messiness of it, of everything. Whereas before it was like, had it kind of together and tight, because we're also in an industry where it's an emerging industry. We're competing with other people. Like, we can't share the full details or the full behind the scenes of like the strategy, what's working, what's not. Like, we have to keep that. And for good reason, right?
Yeah.
Like, you have to kind of keep that, you know, within your team and private package. and behind this package. And so now it's just kind of like, all bets are off. Like, you know, I'm sharing everything.
Here,
like,
here I am.
Exactly. And that feels good. And that feels really good.
What's interesting, I think, just as a final perspective is, you know, you were selling a tub, but really you're selling the ability for people to meet their own edge while you were meeting your edge. And then you were like, God's like, oh, you think you're meeting your edge? Well, we're going to take you all the way.
You're like, you want edge? Okay, I'll give you edge.
No.
Sure. Yeah. Here. You want edge?
I know. And
I'll
it's so funny, but it's always like, God's always just like, this wasn't going to be challenging enough for you.
Yeah.
You know, like, here's your real challenge. Like, the first time, I don't know if you guys know this, but the first time I trained for full Ironman a year ago, I completed my first full Ironman. But 5 years before that, I had trained for my first full Ironman. And I was trained up. I didn't, you know, I was doing double days. I was in incredible shape. I was doing double days. I was going for a certain time, 9 months of training, ready to go, ship my bike out to Florida, that week of race, plane tickets booked, everything's ready to go. The last training run of my entire program, 9 months, the last run, I get a micro stress fracture in my shin. And I have to make the very difficult decision to pull out of the race.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And I was a wreck. I was a wreck because it was also like, can I power through it? But it's like, what are the long-term damages of potentially, right? And I just remember being, it was one of the toughest things and toughest decisions I had to come to. And one of the things and one of the perspectives that stuck with me, and I got, and I reflected on that too through that experience, was completing the Ironman triathlon. Like, I signed up for this because I wanted a challenge that was going to push me. And that's what I asked for. That's what I literally signed up for. And the Ironman became not that challenge anymore because I was ready for it. I had no hesitation, no fear. I knew I was going to do it, and I was going to do it in time. And all of a sudden, God was like, all right, here's your real challenge.
Yeah.
So it's, I think it works that way too, where it's just like, you know, you get what you ask for at the end of the day, but the way that it looks may be different than you expected.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
This is awesome.
How do you feel?
So fun. I feel great.
Awesome.
I love, I feel present. I feel energized. I feel like I don't want to stop this conversation right now.
Like, wait,
we could talk for hours.
No.
I was
like, how do we keep going? I was like, wait, now I want to know about the Ironman stuff. What else should we talk about?
Yeah.
And
we'll have to collab on an event so people, listeners, can come.
That's a great idea.
Honestly, that sounds good because we do these live interviews for people to hear. So
I love it. And I want both of you individually on the podcast too. And in the new year, once I'm getting up and running with it. So thank you. Thanks for having me. Thanks for providing this platform and this opportunity to share. And
thank you so much.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I'm just such big fans of both of you.
We love you so much.
Absolute powerhouses in the best way. And I'm just very grateful to call you friends and to be collaborators in this world and in this lifetime. It's like our souls are like, yeah, okay, there you are. It's like,
you're
in
a party.
Like, yeah, okay, gotcha.
In a different life.
Yeah.
We're doing this round two.
It's so funny too, because when I first met Josh, I loved you immediately. I was like, I love this energy.
Yeah.
I love this
There's
person.
There's an energy about you that's just easy, but also inviting.
Yeah.
It's like a very inspiring. It's like,
and then
I'm
it came full circle
and
because
like, come get more.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
That makes sense. It's like, I'm here and come get more.
I like it. I like it.
And that we met individually.
I know.
And then you guys knew each other. It's just such a,
I mean, that's what I love. I mean, obviously we live in San Diego, but there's a community and there's communities within the communities,
right.
But you just like slowly start to just call
it
our
name.
Yeah. Really? Yeah. Because we met first.
Yeah.
Years ago.
Yeah.
It's this random event.
Yeah. During COVID of all things.
That's right. Wild.
Yeah. Full circle.
Full circle.
Glad you're still here.
Yes, likewise.
Glad we're all still here.
I ain't going anywhere. I'm not leaving.
So tell people if they want to follow the next iteration of Josh Church, where would they find you?
Instagram, I would say, is probably the best spot to keep up with the haps, or my website, joshuadeanchurch.com. Or just my Instagram at Joshua Dean Church. I'm sure you'll link to it all in the show notes. But
we will.
Say that's a spot. Follow along the journey. Reach out. Say hi. I love these electric connections and conversations. So that's it.
Can't wait to see what you do next.
Likewise.
Thank you so much for tuning in. We really appreciate you being here. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd be grateful if you could leave us a review and share it with a friend.
Also, we would love to hear from you. Reach out to us on Instagram and let us know where you feel inspired to express yourself as you embrace this next era. We are here to support you and encourage you. See you on the next one.